Hello, welcome to our show talking about true crime. We are your hosts, Olivia and
co-host Michelle.
What we will be talking about in this episode is Robert Hansen, an American serial killer. We will go over his crimes and what he's done, his conviction, and his death. If you'd like to know more, then please stick around. We hope you will be as interested in learning about him as much as we are. This is episode 2. Who is Robert Hansen and what crimes did he commit? Find out in this episode of Let's Talk About True Crime. Due to the graphic nature of this podcast, there will be things mentioned that are triggers for some people. Proceed with caution. Not recommended for people under 13. Robert Christian Hansen was born on February 15, 1939. He was an American serial killer. The media dubbed him as the Butcher Baker. He was born in Estherville, Iowa. He had a difficult relationship with his father, as his father was very strict and made Robert work long hours at the family-owned bakery. In his childhood, he was often bullied for his stutter and severe acne. He was painfully shy. The boys made fun of him, and girls he liked rejected him. He was described as a loner. In school, he had no close friends. As a social outcast, he spent a lot of time alone. Over time, he became an avid game hunter, focusing his rage on his fantasies of vengeance on the sport of stalking animals. In 1957, after he graduated high school, he enlisted into the U.S. Army Reserve, hoping to make something of himself after his troubled youth. He did for a while. After serving a year with the U.S. Army in Pocahontas, Iowa, he became an assistant drill instructor. He met a young woman there and married her. He still felt mistreated by the community, so he sought retaliation. In 1960, at 21 years old, he convinced a young bakery employee to help him burn down a school bus garage. When the young boy confessed, Robert was arrested. His wife divorced him. He was released after only serving 20 months into his 3-year sentence for arson. Afterward, he went to jail a few more times for petty theft. He was able to marry another local woman. In 1967, he moved to Anchorage, Alaska. He had decided he'd had enough of the United States. He moved into a small community, had 2 kids with his wife. He was well-liked there. He opened a small bakery. In 1972, he was arrested twice. One was the abduction and attempted rape of a housewife. The other was raping a prostitute. Unknown to police, his killing spree began in 1973, likely because he was able to walk free from his earlier crimes. The year of 1976, Robert was arrested and sentenced for shoplifting a chainsaw. He appealed the sentence and was released, however. He continued to prey on strippers and sex workers. He forced them to act out his twisted fantasies. On June 13, 1983, a 17-year-old woman who was a sex worker by the name of Cindy Paulson was a victim of Robert's. She was promised 200 for oral sex, but when she got in the car, he threatened her with a gun. He kept her captive, repeatedly torturing, sexually assaulting, and raping her. She escaped, and police eventually found her. After telling police what Robert did, they arrested him. He denied the allegations Cindy made, saying she was trying to frame him because he had previously refused to pay her money. Even with the arrest, Robert had built a decent reputation in the community, and with his timidness, occupation as a baker, and a strong alibi, helped him convince police to let him go. The police never learned the identity of a woman whose body was found as Robert's victim. They named her Eklutna Annie after the road where her body was found. After more bodies were found in and around Anchorage Seaboard and the Matanuska Susitna Valley area, the police realized that Robert fit the criminal profile drawn out for the case. He's caught in October of 1983. Robert owned a plane, and authorities found an aviation map with small X marks on it during their search. Robert initially rejected the evidence and claimed the women were responsible for their own fate. Police also found out that the women he kidnapped, he drove or flew them to his cabin in the remote Alaskan wilderness. If the women didn't put up a fight, he would rape them and bring them back to town, threatening them to secrecy. But those who did put up a fight suffered a nightmarish fate. In the wilderness along Nick River, his favorite place, he would set the women free. For a moment, the women would have hope that there was a chance to escape. When they ran for their lives, he would track them, taking his time, hunting them like wild animals. He would take a hunting knife, two 23 caliber Ruger Mini 14 rifle. He'd torture the women with this chase for hours or days at a time. When he located his prey, he would shoot them like game. He kept souvenirs of his prey. Authorities found a stash of jewelry. A necklace was found that was one of the victims. When confronted with the evidence in 1984, Robert confessed to murdering 17 women and raping 30 over a 12-year period. As part of a plea bargain, he was charged with 4 of the 17 murders he confessed to. Some people think he killed more than 20 women. In exchange for a reduced sentence, he agreed to help authorities to locate the remaining bodies plotted on his kill map. 5 of the bodies have not been located. He took that secret with him to the grave. He was sentenced to 461 years plus life in prison without parole. He was imprisoned at Spring Creek Correctional Center in Sea Ward, Alaska, where he died of natural causes caused by lingering health problems on August 21, 2014 at the age of 75 at Alaska Regional Hospital in Anchorage. Okay, so what do you think about all that, Mom?
I can't fathom what they were thinking. Running through the woods for days and whatnot. I just can't imagine what their mindset was.
Yeah, exactly.
Because just sitting here thinking about it, that, wow. I believe the women were so frightened that they did whatever they could to get away. But the thing is, he tracked them.
Yeah.
And there's still shot them.
Yeah.
I just can't get past that. What would the women be thinking at that time? Crying and wanting to be home, and just that alone just messes with me.
Yeah.
But I keep going back to them women running in the woods.
Yeah, it reminds me of an SVU episode. I forgot the name of it. I think it might be Hunting Ground, but I'm not entirely sure. But this sicko would sit there and go for escorts, and freaking, he would sit there and have him get in the car with him. He had his dog in the back. Well, somehow they ended up in the back instead, and the kind of, like in police cars, you know how they have that cage or whatever?
Uh-huh. Well, that's to block you from the driver.
Yeah, so that's what he had in his car. And he would sit there and drug them with something. I forgot what it was. But then he'd set them loose. And then he and his dog would sit there and hunt those women down.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, just seeing that, I can't imagine somebody being hunted.
Yeah, like, that's just messed up. People like that is just disgusting. Like, I mean, I don't like people like that either. Like, you got some sick-ass motherfucking people in the world.
And how far did he take them out in the wilderness?
Yeah.
Because it says for days or weeks, did it say?
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay, so he must have drove them out in the real boondocks.
Probably.
To where he has time to hunt him down.
Yeah, wherever the hell the Nick River is.
I don't know that one.
Somewhere in Alaska, that's all I fucking know. So, yeah, like, but his crimes, I can't even believe he was able to get a wife and all that. Oh, and I also saw something about how the wife that he had before he was caught the last time, his wife and his kids, his wife made the decision to move because of the fact that her kids were getting bullied bad because of the crimes that their father did. So, you know, so she sold the land, sold the bakery, and they moved somewhere else. So that way the kids wouldn't be bullied anymore. And, you know, I don't think it's very fair. Yeah, they might have had a fucked up dad and all that shit, but the thing is, it's not their fault for the choices that their dad made.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, because it's not right that freaking kids bully other kids for something that they have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably didn't even know nothing about this life of their dad's. And they're probably haunted by it because it's their dad that did all these horrible things to women.
I can't believe that the kids were picking on the one kid. I was doing that. I'd be scared of dad coming after me.
Yeah. Well, that's even if Robert even cared about his
true
wife and kids.
True, but still, that's, they bully you for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't control what your parent does. You're lucky that he doesn't go after you.
Yeah, exactly. So, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'm just flabbergasted on the women running from the woods. I mean, I'm sure they came across animals. I just hope they didn't get attacked or anything. Those women's mindset were just, they wanted to get the hell out of there. They wanted to get out of the woods so they can get some help.
Yeah.
But in turn, they got hunted down. I wouldn't want to be in that predicament.
Neither would I.
And I don't know how I would do it to stay away from him or hide from him or something like that.
Well, when it comes to being hunted, you can try to hide, mm-hmm. but it's not going to freaking work most of the fucking time. So,
yeah.
If they're good at what they do, then you're going to be found no matter fucking what. So,
yeah, if he's an avid hunter, yes, he would be able to do that.
And I believe it said about him being avid game hunter or something.
There
like.
You go.
So, because he took his vengeance out on animals first, so.
Yeah, that's another thing. Leave the animals alone unless they're meant to eat, you know, rabbits, deer, and stuff like that.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Okay, but... If I was those women and being out there for days, I would be hungry.
I understand.
But they have no way. They have no way to kill the animal and cook the animal. So they starve.
Yeah, I'm not going to be sitting here having no damn... Nope, sorry. As far as I'll go with the eating of the meat, it's getting it from the store. I'm not going to sit there and shoot it or watch it being shot and then watch it being dismembered and whatever the hell else they do to the animal to make it eatable. So I'll just pass on that. But yeah, so anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm just thinking about them poor women.
Okay, how do you guys feel about this sick fuck? And what do you think about him? What are your opinions and what should have been done about him? Also, I will be including the link in the description for his court trial. You can let us know your thoughts or opinions at talkingabouttruecrime3051@gmail.com. This has been your host, Olivia, and your
co-host, Michelle.
On our podcast, Talking About True Crime, what we covered in this episode is the life and crimes of Robert Hinson and him killing, kidnapping, and raping women. Please spread the word to your family and friends if you like what we did here and if you think they'd like what we talk about or discuss here. If you all hear anything we need to work on, please email us at the email I told you earlier. We are open to suggestions on how to improve. We do not have a website for our podcast, but we hope to have one soon. In the next episode, we will be covering Joe Matheny, a serial killer who was also a cannibal. We will be finding out exactly what crimes he committed and hope you will be here to listen. If you are hearing this message, you've listened to an entire episode. We really want to thank you from the bottom of our heart. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Talking About True Crime. If you did, please leave us a review on Spotify as it will help us get noticed. If you want to hear more about true crime from us, then please follow us on Spotify.
Thank you!